World's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, don't ask me what's going on, all right? Don't ask me what's going on. We are having website issues today. I guess if we're having a website issue, you can't hear this. But my phone, of course, is blowing up. Bad gateways. We're under attack here at Coach Dave Live for exactly what's going on. I'm not paranoid, yada, yada, yada. So look, yes, it's Friday. Yes, we're going to take communion, but we're going to take communion at the bottom of the hour. I got family issues going on. Not a crisis. I got homeschool kids. Got to be someplace. I got to transport my granddaughter to her homeschool outing. So I'm going to be about 20 minutes. All right, and then we'll carry it on from there. And just pray all of you out there behave when I'm gone. Hey, I got something really kind of. This is kind of selfish, but also kind of humbling. And hey, Spencer, do this for me real quickly. Go to newswithyous.com. As you guys know, I publish a commentary once a week at newswithyous.com. And I was absolutely blown away. I'll show you why. So you go to newswithyous.com, and Spencer's doing a good job of it. And then they pull me up. And there's my archive. Okay, look at my archive. Look, it goes back to 2017, but actually it goes back even farther than that. Look at these. How long I've been, I'm not bragging, okay? Spencer, maybe you can find the one I'm looking for there. Look, 2000, churches are spreading mad cow disease. 5/11/04 is when I first drew. I've been doing this a while. But out of nowhere, I got an email, which I cannot find today, with somebody that said, I'm sorry, paraphrasing, because I can't find it. Something going on. I said, Coach, man, you wrote, read this. You wrote this, whatever. So I'm going to read this to you today. Spencer, I can't find. So here it is. Okay, folks, look at this. This was written 12 years ago. By the way, 12 years ago today, April 10th, 12 years ago today, this was published. And I just want to share it, and I'm going to share it, and then I'm going to have to get in the car and get out of here. But I think it's pretty appropriate. For those of you out there, I'm not bragging. I've been doing this a while, okay? So this was at newswithyous.com. If I had time to scroll through it, I could find it. And again, a listener out there just sent it to me. And I can't even find it in my email right now. Ray can't get in probably. So I'm sorry. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. You're right, Ray. Oh, there it is. Spencer found it. April 10th. Well, that'd be today, wouldn't it? April, Spencer, I'm going to send you $2 more. April 10th, 2014. How many years ago is that, Gene? How many years ago is this? 2014.
12.
12 years ago today.
Yeah, 12.
And, you know, we had Flip Venom on yesterday, and that was really good. And Flip gave me this line here, and I've used it. Everybody wants to follow Jesus until they find out where he's gone. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that. Vinny, that'd be a boom.
I'll give you a boom.
Huh? Everybody wants to follow Jesus until they find out where he's gone. He's going to a cross. And he asks you to pick up yours and follow him. So here's my question for you today. What has your faith cost you? What has your faith cost you? Folks, 2014. Somebody help me again. 12 years ago? 12 years ago? Christianity, American style, comes on the cheap. We live in one of the few nations on the planet where you can serve a God who wants to bless you. American style Christianity would not be able to be marketed in most places in the globe. In fact, in many countries around the world, Christianity is dangerous business. it's likely to cost you your life. But should we be surprised? Isn't that what Jesus warned us? For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake, shall the same shall save it. Lose your life? Are you kidding me? So much for your best life now. Only in America can the message, your best life now, be sold. Let me ask you a question. What does your faith cost you? I just Googled Christian persecution around the world, and here's what I came up with. You don't have to click on it. It's still there, I think. The poor Christians around the world, those poor Christians around the world, if they'd only been smart enough to be an American, none of this would have happened to them. They didn't understand that God had not appointed them under wrath. American Christianity is sweet and loving and prosperous. How could the rest of the world have gotten it so wrong? I don't mean to bore you with scripture, but for those who might be curious, here are a few verses you might want to consider in regards to your own purpose-driven life. Hey, folks, 14 years ago, bear with me. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you? The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, Jesus said, they're going to persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do until you, for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Therefore, another scripture, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen on that one. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs, you want a blessing? Hey, y'all want a blessing out there? Blessed are you when they're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I know. I wish that they weren't in the Bible as well. But here in the good old U.S. of A., we think persecution is when your coworker says something mean to you, or when we can't put a manger scene on the courthouse lawn, or when they make you take down your picture of Jesus in your cubicle at work, when your credit card is maxed out, or when Obama forces you to pay for birth control. Really? Now, tell me again, what does your faith cost you? Give the book of Acts a good read. The New Testament church was birthed out of conflict. The preaching of the gospel was a costly venture. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and folks, most of it from jail. The gospel cost all of the apostles their lives, except John. He just got boiled in oil. What's your faith costing you? All across America, Christians are calling for God to intervene in this sinful nation. 14 years ago, folks. Unborn babies are being slaughtered. Pornography is the most lucrative business in the world. Marriage is under attack. The gay mafia is bullying their way into power. Jesus is thrown out of the schools. Chrislam is the new religion. The federal government is the most unchristian corporation in America. Everybody wants to get in. Conservatives support the killing of the innocent in the name of democracy. Our dollar's worthless. Our president is the son of Satan. That would have been Obama. Lies rule the day. 2014. What would Jesus do when his day he took a whip and cleared the temple? Spoke out against the religious leaders. He died standing up for what he believed. What'd Paul do? Well, he followed Jesus' example. He spoke the truth. He rebuked the leadership. He loved not his own life. He became a bondservant of Christ. It cost him everything. And then he urged us to do likewise. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. Paul said, do like, just follow me, boys. Just do what I do here, boys. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Cry aloud, spare not, lift your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. What would Jesus do? He'd send you. He'd send you. In this best life now culture in which we live today, Joel Osteen's and his ilk, what does your faith cost you?
Boom.
That's pretty good, isn't it? 14 years ago. And we are in, you know, look, I got to go here, and I got 8 minutes. We're in the crucible. We sit back. I'm a little frustrated. We sit back and we watch what's going on in the world, and we want to blame Trump. When the reality of it is, I don't care if it was dump or stump or pump. It's not his job to straighten out the world. Jesus said that we were the salt of the earth. It was Christian America, they told us, that elected a homosexual Muslim to office. And the Americans were dumb enough to think he was a Christian. Somebody give me an amen on that. It's us. It wasn't Trump. It wasn't Trump. They bring a guy in that doesn't even have an American name, Barack Hussein Obama, and Christians by the millions voted for him. And what we're dealing with in the Middle East right now today is a direct result of that homosexual freak that the church opened the door and let walk in. What are we going to do? Well, I was encouraged yesterday by Flip Benham. Because can I tell you why? I've seen Flip walk the walk, man. Stop texting me and telling me that this thing isn't working, please. Huh? Yeah, Craig. Obama gave $1.5 million to the Taliban in cash. Why? Because the salt lost its savor. The salt lost its savor. Everything that we see going on right now in America today is going on with the permission of the American church. And we elect a guy named Donald Trump who probably isn't even Christian. We don't know. Probably isn't even Christian. Huh? People can't get in. They're all telling me the same. I can't get in. I know you can't. I don't know what's going on. I know you can't. So I gotta leave here in 5 minutes. I just want to encourage all of you. I want you to know this, folks. It ain't gonna get better. Now, I'm not a doom and gloomer. We could argue all we want to about theology and end times and rapture and Israel and the second temple, the third temple, the fourth temple, and the tenth temple. Going to argue all we want to about that, and there ain't a damn thing we can do about it. But every one of us could raise up and stop the advancement of evil in our own freaking schools. But we refuse to do it. The promise to be hated of all men. I watched David Arthur yesterday in that clip we played when he walked in there. Do you have any idea how much those school board members hated him? Do you have any idea how much they hate Jeff Klein when he goes to the school board? Dave Allison, when he goes there and he calls them out. And now, can I tell you this? I got about 3 minutes here in Ohio. Spencer, you got to pull this up for me real quick. Hang on. Folks, you got to see this. Huh? Where is it? There's what I want. Pull up for me. Vivek Ramaswamy, who is a Hindu, who's probably going to be governor of Ohio. And somebody asked him about Christianity. Ready? This is what we've come to. This is what we've come to. We have invaders with the approval of the church. Go ahead and play this, and I got to go. Good.
So I'll be very honest. Not a hard question. So
Stop a minute. Start it again. Don't ever believe anybody who says to you, let me be honest. Don't ever believe them, because that means there are times when they're not. I don't say, let me be honest. I'm always honest. Go ahead.
So I'll be very honest. Not a hard question. So in our faith tradition, Jesus Christ is a son of God. I know that is different than saying he's the son of God, but that is my view of Jesus Christ. He's got our family. Do we worship in churches? Yes, we do. Is that compatible with our faith? Yes, it is. One true God in many forms. So that's
many
different,
forms.
And I understand that.
Yeah, it is different. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ.
I think that is the path. That is a path to heaven is the way we look at it.
A belief path. In God Jesus is a path.
Belief in the one true God. That's the way I look at it.
There you go. Huh? Many gods. Many gods. One true God, but many gods. That guy is going to be governor of Ohio because why? He's going to be governor of Ohio, a Hindu, because the Christians can't come up with anybody better. So, oh yeah, Coach, they got Heather Hill out there and they got Casey Pucic out there. Yeah, well, ain't nobody voting for those guys. Media's going to push Vivek. They're going to push Vivek. That's what's going on. Dale, speak, and I got to run. In fact, I just might put you in charge.
Oh, Coach, your word is so spot on. What he just said and what Coach shared yesterday, Teen Challenge, you'll find in the last book in the book of Judges, where it says, in those days, there were no kings, and men did what they believed was right in their own eyes. Coach, because we become our king. When there is no king, like what Vivek said, oh, no, there's many. We become a king unto ourselves.
Amen, brother. Huh? That's it. That's where we are. And all of it. Think about the Rick Warren gospel and the Joel Osteen gospel and all this name it, claim it, flop out there. When all you got to do is I didn't get it ready to go. I should bring up Hebrews 11 and the Faith Hall of Fame and see what happened to those true followers of Jesus Christ. And we're so persecuted because fuel prices are going up. Have been a boom, Vinny. It'd be a boom.
Boom.
I don't know who's going to run the show. I got to go. Dale, you can run it. Somebody run it. I don't know why people are having a hard time getting in here today. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I can tell you this, that the whole creation's groaning, waiting for God's people to show up. And 98% of our church leadership, call them pastors, call them whatever you want to, have dropped the ball. They're promoting evacuation rather than war. We are at war, and they're praying for evacuation. Have a great weekend. I got to go be a grandpa. I'll take my granddaughter to homeschool. I don't know who's in charge. Don't fight with each other. Don't kill each other. Spencer, you may be the man. Paul, you can run. I don't care. Just have a discussion and just go with it, okay? And understand this. I may not endorse everything it's said here, and you may not endorse anything it's said, but you better freaking realize we are at war. See you Monday.
Boom.
And we have been at war. We have been at war since the very beginning of time in the Garden of Eve. And Flip Benham, who cornerstoned the phrase, it has been the battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Hey, Spence, can you get Revelations chapter 12, verse 17 up there real quick? Who's the gentleman who does the communion? Is he in here?
Joe,
because I'm in a hotel room folding up my suitcase here, getting ready to head out. So I'm the only thing I would have to do communion with would go cook a waffle. So this battle, this is the last book of the Bible. We see in the first book of the Bible, like I said, this is where the Lord tells the serpent, and I will put enmity between your seed, and her heel shall crush your head. And in the last book of the Bible, this great chapter 12, where we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, loving not our life, even unto death, listen to this word. And the dragon was wroth, fiercest with anger, with the woman, that woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have true to the testimony of Jesus Christ. This battle that Coach just said as he signed off is the same battle that has been going on since the garden. It's the same battle. This is why when there was just Adam and Eve, right, and Cain and Abel, you had four people on the face of the earth. Murder already rose up. And one quarter of the population was gone, right? Because Cain slew Abel. And so guess what? That battle has been raging ever since. And every single one of us, we have this raging within us. You know, all we can do, as Paul wrote in Timothy, he says that I am crucified in Christ. If I'm crucified, was Jesus crucified, Spence? Yes. Was he alive after the crucifixion? I mean, yes, he rose from the dead. But when he was crucified, he wasn't partially put to death. He was wholly 100% dead at the cross. Now, if that's true, then Paul says, I am crucified in Christ, yet I live. How do I live? I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, Colossians 2:15, I believe it is, said, or 2:14, this is what talks about, and it says that he nailed the decrees of our sin and our penalties to the cross, and having disarmed principalities, he made a public display of him, right? We're here, yeah, great. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, they took away and nailing it to the cross. Go up to the next verse, 15. Dude, this, come on, let's be honest. You ever get to that where you want to ask God a question when you get to heaven? This is the question. I shared this yesterday at Teen Challenge. This is the question I want to ask. It says, having blotted out, then verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. In other words, what he said there, he made a public display of them, a mockery. I don't know what that looked like. Do you realize that Jesus, when he did what he did at the cross, he went in 3 days into the bowels of the earth and the bowels of hell, and he made a public display of Satan, an open mockery of Satan in hell. I want to know what that looked like. I mean, did he like drag him by his tail, drag him through, kicking him every now and then? I don't know what it was, but he made a public display of him. This is us. Romans 16, go real quick, Spence, and I'm going to let whoever else wants to come in because I got to. Romans 16, starting in verse 19, we're going to go down 19, 20, 21. This is us. That same seed crushed Satan underneath. I will make enmity between your seed and her seed, and her heel shall bruise or crush your head. Here we are in Romans 16, 19. For your obedience has come abroad to all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you be wise to what is good. Let me tell you what, evil is always crouching at your door. And simple concerning evil. And the God of peace, in the NASB says, and the God of peace shall crush Satan. But here he used the word bruise because it's the same bruise that we see in the book of Genesis where he puts enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. He says, and her heel shall bruise your head. What he said was her heel is going to crush your head. So you've all seen, right, Mel Gibson's Passion of Christ, and you saw what he was praying fervently in the garden, and he stands up. Now, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but he crushes the head of the serpent. Hey, we are that. And it says, and the God of peace shall, not might, thinking about, will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord, that word grace is revelation, of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all and amen. Folks, let me tell you what. I'm going to say this last thing. The word tetelestai, when you hear that word, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, Spence, this is, dude, this is like really great because you're lifting weights. You're lifting weights, right, man? You're loving this. And here's Jesus. He's hanging on the cross and he says, it is finished. The Greek word is tetelestai. It is finished. That word wasn't the only word that Jesus ever used back in that day that referred to that it is finished at the cross. What that word was used for, and look, you can go back in the records, when somebody bought land or somebody bought a house back in that day and the debt was paid, the deed was paid in full, you know, like when you buy your house and the deed is paid in full, they would stamp on it. Here nowadays, when you finish paying off your house, you get what's called a canceled. In other words, it's finished. There's no more to be paid. The word that they stamped in that day when your house was paid in full, truly, the banks would stamp tetelestai. Tetelestai. Why? Because your debt was paid in full. Another word that word was used for was that when you served a sentence, in other words, when John the Baptist was in prison, of course, he never made it out, but say you're in a Roman or because the Jews had prisons too. So you're in this prison and they sentence you for 4 months, 5 months, whatever, and you get out. How do we know that you were set free? You had court records. And on the court records, Spence, the word tetelestai was stamped on that. And that meant this, that your punishment, your sentence was served in full. And the last one, and I see that Joe Carrico's here, awesome. The last word, part of tetelestai, was a military term. And the military term, and back in those days, and you watch those movies, the gladiators that go back and forth, and what they would do, your best gladiator would fight our gladiator in the valley. And whichever gladiator won, that was the way they fought many wars back then, is that if he won, you became the subservient to them. And that tetelestai and the word evangelite, where we get evangelism, is a rider would go out to the valley, to the crest of the hill where the battle was going on. And when your champion won and he crushed the enemy, destroyed him, because the only win is death, and crushed him, the evangelite would ride back on the horse like Paul Revere did, and he would ride up and down in the streets, tetelestai, tetelestai. It is finished. The enemy has been crushed. Satan, when Jesus said to tetelestai at the cross, your debt was paid in full, your punishment was delivered, and your enemy has been crushed underneath your feet. Hallelujah. Go give them heaven. Let's do communion.
Amen, Dale.
Okay. Yeah, he told me to come in late because he would be taking the first half of the show. So I guess that he left earlier than expected. There is a little bit of current topical points that most people probably aren't aware of that's relevant to today, I think. And that is that 444 years ago, a king, I think, in England switched us from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, and that actually today is the Passover when our Lord was put on the cross, and this Sunday is the original resurrection Sunday, not last Sunday. And I just thought that would be topical. Well, our reading this morning is John 6, 44 to 58. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this Friday morning, again with gratitude in our hearts for all that you've done and all that you're doing in our lives, for our souls, in our country and across the world. Everything is in motion, Lord. We feel that everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And we know this is for good. We know that you are shaking the lies out of the trees so that the truth remains. And the truth will set us free. So we pray for our friends, family, loved ones, colleagues. Who
Bluetooth connected
are and have been deceived. We pray that they see through your eyes and begin to see the truth. And we pray that we see through your eyes and we see others as you see them, that where we're angry at someone, you will be looking at them through eyes of love and understanding and finding that common ground to help them us bridge over the anger to the person that you love there. We know that you hate the sin and you love the sinner. We're all sinners, Lord, but a lot of people, most are in denial. And so help us to also see through your eyes and not just see truth, but to see the persons you love when they are difficult to love. So we're going to need your help on this one, Lord. And we ask that you help us and remind us that we are your ambassadors. We are ambassadors of heaven here on earth. And as your ambassadors, we are citizens of heaven. We don't really belong here anymore. I don't, it doesn't feel, it often feels like in our hearts that we belong someplace else, because we belong with you, because we are right now seated with you at the right hand of the Father. That's what your word teaches us, and that's what we believe. And so we understand that communion is a holy moment. We ask you to forgive our sins and our transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. We ask that you help us remember that this can be the meal that heals. So let us think about what's not right in our body or in our soul and receive healing for that here, Lord. It could be that something's out of balance in our world. We can receive healing for that, Lord. It can be that we feel stress, anxiety. Let us receive your peace, Lord, and let you carry us through these times. And I believe, Lord, that Tina Peters is in the process of exiting the facility in Colorado she's in. Hold her in your arms as she exits and give her strength. So when she's out, she will be a dynamo. She will spread the truth with the fire that you put in her. And Lord, we ask that you bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for us so many years ago, that we who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we are grateful, Lord. So we ask that you be with the people in Iran, the citizens who've been abused by these mullahs and Khomeinis and these authoritarian, ruthless rulers shooting their own citizens just for protesting. So many thousands have died this year. Needlessly. But that your church there, Lord, is growing rapidly, so rapidly, the truth cannot be contained. And it's spreading like nothing, like it has never spread before. And so bring freedom there, Lord. Those people deserve their freedom. Bring freedom and let them be free to choose you and to choose life, life everlasting. And we are grateful. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody.
Hey, Spence. open up. I'm asking to use the NASB because that's what I use, the New American Standard Bible. And Joe, I hope you stay in here to hear this. The power of communion. Now, we remember Jesus said in the Last Supper, he says, when I do this, he goes, I'm not going to do this again until I do it. What? When I come in my Father's kingdom, right? In my Father's kingdom. Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 12, because here's a unique thing. Yes, Mary, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, they see Jesus first. And of course, Peter and John, they go to the tomb and the tomb is empty. Jesus did not reveal himself to his disciples first. So we're in Luke, right? 24. I'm going to read it out of mine because I'm in my little thing here. So nevertheless, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. And when he stooped down, looked in, he saw the linen wrappings, only went away to his home, marveling at what had just happened. So now Jesus hasn't revealed himself to them. But now it starts to the story of the road to Emmaus. And behold, on that very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, which was 6 stadia from Jerusalem, and they were taken with them about these things, what had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But listen, key 16 is one of the key verses, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Remember that. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And as he said to them, what are these words that are exchanging with one another as you're walking? They came and they stood and looked sad. One of them said, named Cleopas, and answered, are you possibly the only one living near Jerusalem who does not know about these things? Now, I just want to jump down this about Jesus. They know what was going on. And they begin to discuss all of these things. Now, let's get down to verse 28, just for time's sake. And they approached the village where they were going, and Jesus gave the impression that he was going on farther. And so they strongly urged him and say, stay with us, for it's getting towards the evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went to stay with him, and it came about when he had reclined at the table. Jesus is reclining at the table. Remember, their eyes were closed to this, and Jesus said, I'm not going to do this until I come in my Father's kingdom. And their eyes were closed to this, and he says they reclined at the table, and he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And he vanished out of their sight. I want to tell you something. Communion is not just the meal that heals. It is the meal that opens our eyes to see the revelation of the risen one. And their eyes, it said, did our hearts not burn within us while he was talking to us? And what did he say? I'm not doing this till I come in my Father's kingdom. Let me tell you what. We're not going to the kingdom. The kingdom is here and it's within us. And so when we do this communion, that this is so powerful that it can open up the eyes that we might begin to see the revelation. Joe, I've always wanted to share that with you too. I don't know if you knew that. Anyway, all right, I'll let whoever else wants to come in, or Spence, take the wheel.
Anybody wanted to come in? Come on in, raise hand, discuss. Open forum right now for the next few minutes.
Yeah, the concept, I understand when Dale and Flip were talking about when Cain, one quarter of the population died. Well, that makes a really neat analogy, and it makes a good talking point, but I can't imagine that there was no other people on the planet when these two had reached adulthood, big enough to grow crops and hunt game. So the analogy really doesn't hold up. So it was just an interesting thought but it sounded good and it makes a good point.
Here's the thing with that. And I can totally agree with what you're saying because it might be a moot point, but when you read the Bible never says any otherwise.
Right. It doesn't say either way. But if you think Adam and Eve were celibate until after those boys were adults, I don't think that works too well, because Cain left and went to a far country and joined another city. There was already a city.
Yeah, I know. I was making a catchy point, is the fact that this has been going on since the beginning.
Exactly.
When Cain slew, the seed of the serpent has been actively working in the hearts of man. What is the heart of man, right? It is wicked, evil, sick, And who can know it, right? Jeremiah chapter 17, 9. And so that seed there, it's not that, that's all secondary point. The point is that murder, it lays within the heart of man. Sin lays within the heart of man. But victory lays when our hearts are hidden in Christ.
Yep, 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 exactly, yep.
I would just like to put something in here. This is, if you read the first chapter of Genesis, and you just sit there and read it and take everything out of your mind that everybody has ever told you and just read that chapter. He created man and woman first together. That's where all our different nationalities came from. And man and woman, he created them and it was good. And then he rested on the seventh day and he came back in chapter 2. That's when the Garden of Eden came in. Just think about it. I'm not saying I'm 100% right, but just think about it. Man and woman was created first, and then Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Eve was the mother of life. And who is life? Jesus Christ. That's the bloodline where Jesus Christ came from.
Anybody else want to jump in? Keep coming on in. Open forum. If not, we can go ahead and shut her down.
I have a question. I have a quick question for the person who is just talking. Are they saying that that there was already something here and then God created Adam and Eve and because for his bloodline, but that other people or creatures were already here? Is that what Igor's trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is God created mankind before Adam and Eve. That's just what I'm saying. You don't have to believe that, but just go read it because God is an orderly God. He did everything in order because you might say I'm a biologist, okay? Adam and Eve could not have created all of mankind because he created them as he created me. I could not marry a woman and create all the Japanese, the Chinese, all these other people. They were here, but God created Eve of the Garden of Eden to separate Adam and Eve from the other that were created here, so the bloodline of Jesus Christ could be brought out.
Hey, Gene, why don't you read it for us?
Oh gosh,
get your scripture and read it. Or have Spencer pull it up.
I'm not ready for it. It's anyway, it's in the last part of chapter 1 of Genesis.
Spencer has it on the screen if you can see it there, Gene.
I got Genesis.
The question begs to differ. All of that was prior, but then the flood happens and all mankind is destroyed. And only two of each kind of certain animals and seven of others, and only eight people went on the ark. And out of those eight was the world then populated.
Dale, it did not say animals, it said flesh. What does flesh consume of? He took two of every flesh.
So, of its kind. And so then, okay, let's go to forget the animals. Let's go to the people. How many people were on the ark?
There were Adamic. There was a family of eight that believed in God. But
they are the ones that populated the earth after the flood.
But that doesn't mean he didn't take any others. I mean, there were eight.
I'm hearing you on the first one, and I can agree with what you're saying on that point. But when I'm reading in Genesis, because then everything is wiped out, I think the Lord was pretty specific. He didn't say he brought man and then he brought Noah and his family. Just like what you're saying in Genesis chapter 1, he created man. And then in chapter 2, where you see that he creates Adam. And then he creates Eve out of Adam. And in those, he breathed his spirit into them. And that holds a real logical, good point. And I've seen that angle. But when I see Genesis chapter 6, it was Noah and his family. There were no other people on the face of the earth because every man's heart was on evil, and he destroyed all of them.
Really, we really don't know how long. I mean, when Adam and Eve, I think they were not in time to like we are today, or like they were after they sinned. With the glory of God, kind of my opinion, thinking of it, glory of God was their covering. And, you know, before, we don't know how long they co-populated before they sinned. I mean, they could have been doing that for 1,000 years, and we just don't know until they sinned. It doesn't really give a sense. I mean, the time back then was not like time after the fall. You know, I mean, you know, when God told Adam not to sin, he didn't tell Eve, he told Adam. And when Eve partook of the fruit, or whatever it was, sin didn't come into the world until Adam partook of it. So there's a time for, you know, I mean, time back then, what's your opinion on that, Dale? I think it was a lot different than it is after the fall, you know.
Well, I'm just here not having every Bible verse, but there's two genealogies too. There's genealogy of Adam and the genealogy of Cain. There's just so much we don't know that was left out.
Yeah, and so, and in that, see, and I say this and I tell people in my church, I have a very respectful opinion, because to me, when I hear, you know, people come in with these different things, it's because they thought it through. And, you know, they spent time, they thought, you know, and it's okay. It really is okay. And so I don't have to try to convince anybody. I can respect Gene's position on this. I really can. And I have a position that might be different because I respect the Jesus in Gene. And I always say this, when we all get to heaven and we see Jesus, we're going to find out we had some holes and our eschatology, our ecclesiology, and our theology. Are you going to tell Jesus he was wrong? Heck no, right? Boom. We're just going to rejoice in him. And so I say with a broader thing that we just respect when a person thinks different, on especially issues like this, because these do not pertain to eternal damnation or salvation. Amen. And so they're open. And so I respect those opinions because people That's have thought point. These things through.
Mary, Dale, you've been up to the Creation Museum near Cincinnati?
Three times, absolutely.
So Ken Ham did a deep dive on this, and he scientifically explains, I forget the video series he has, but he explains how what we call incest, but he says how, you know, interfamily relations helped creation, and you can do that for so long, but then after a while, as families spread out, then of course there's, you know, mutation and that kind of thing. But he has a great series on that, how that scientifically works. And in the beginning, when, you know, everybody's pure, you could actually, you know, marry your cousins and so on and so on and so on, but it only goes for so many, you know, generations before there's problems. It's a really cool series.
Mary Beth, come on in.
Just a couple of things. So is Coach okay? I missed out on that part or whatever happened.
Yep, he just had to run out somewhere, so go ahead.
Okay. Dale, I loved your revelation about communion. That was awesome. I loved it. And the whole thing with Gene, I don't know. I think that the way Dale explained it, how you are searching for the truth. And that was just an interesting, thing there.
Anybody else want to come in?
I think it's hysterical when we get really dogmatic about our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own and convictions, because I listen to them all, and I think what is it that I believe that's wrong? I know that what Dale was saying, I think about that frequently when we have these discussions, whether it's in the queue here or in town or in church or whatever. And I think it's going to be hysterical when we're all sitting around going, I didn't get it. Man, did I get that wrong? It's going to be so neat. And then I'm going to find out why Noah didn't kill that last mosquito just before. Anyways, this is a great discussion.
Betty.
Hey, thanks, Spence. Yeah, it does say the gospel's a mystery. And, you know, I'm like Teresa, you know, Adam and Eve, they're created. And then, you know, Cain does what he does. And he goes to another city. So are those fallen angels that are in these other cities or towns or whatever they call it, by villages? And did God create them before? I'm sure, because God creates everything. Why isn't that in the Bible at the beginning, saying that there was these? I have questions too. I trust the word. There's so much, it's a mystery. So if someone can explain that.
Betty, that's a great, you know, I never heard that. Were those the cities of the fallen angels? Because the angels had already fallen. The angels had fallen. So that's a good point. I guess the one thing that sticks out at that moment then is that the angels cannot reproduce. That's why they had relations with women. But once again, hey folks, I'm just here to encourage you and say, you know what? What a blessing. I'm telling you, in my church, I got people who believe in the rapture. I got people who believe in the millennial. They believe in the preacher. And you know what? I'm the pastor. And that this is the whole thing. Hey, every angle on these types of things, you just don't know. And you know what we do as Christians? We should respect one another. And in here, I hear that today, that we're respecting. We're like, wow, that's a pretty unique idea. And I think Spence wants to go to the gym. That's like, all right, look, y'all just let me know.
Hey, Dale. Hey, Dale. If you think you might be right, you might be. And if you think you might not be right, you might be.
and that's why, you know what? I respect opinions. And I'm going to say this as a Southern sarcast. Don't take it offensively. This is the way it was taught to me by a good old Boudreaux. He said, opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple of them, and most of them stink.
Joe, got a couple more minutes. So let's wrap us up. Nope.
Hey, Betty, look up the word pre-Adamic race and do a little study on that.
Okay.
You might learn a few things on that, like meaning pre-Adam, pre-Adamic race.
Sorry, I hadn't unmuted. None.
Go ahead.
I agree with Betty that the Bible is a bit sparse in the beginning about really what was happening. And I think that we have that situation because the Book of Enoch was removed and it was quoted by Christ as being scripture. So I think it was not rightfully removed. I think it was removed to create vagueness and create gaps and to remove truths. And I haven't yet taken the step, but I feel a direction to studying the Ethiopian Bible. Because I believe there's things there that the Roman Catholic Church was not able to remove because Ethiopia was not conquered by them. It was its own strength and its own kingdom, and it was enlightened since the Queen of Sheba returned after having, brought back a son of Solomon with her. So, no, there's a lot we don't know, but I believe that we have the tools at our disposal, might be shortly revealed or released, or maybe there'll be translations of, because I think when I searched, there wasn't real good available translations yet, reliable ones of the Ethiopian Bible. Of the, I think, 88 books in that one. And I believe that the 40 days after the resurrection have a whole different level of teaching and truth that was purposely removed from by the church. This just what, and I'm feeling Holy Spirit right now, and I'm saying this anyway. Just had to share that.
Great, hey, Joe. Thank you. One last thing. What about Mary, Gina Peters?
We're out of time.
Why he's free.
Sorry, we're out of time. 8 o'clock. Thank you, everybody, for joining. And if you're watching this on the recording, we had some technical difficulties. So thanks for staying with us. But we'll sign off now, and we'll see everybody again. And Coach will be back Monday. We'll see you then. Bye. Thank you, everybody.